Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It was a big mistake, acknowledging this to all.
You're listening to Bandwagons. Talking about things
that other people are talking about. This mic is so good, I can hear me scratch my own legs.
I'm really happy for you, I'm sure. Louder than you, listeners are as well.
Louder than you'd hear it with your own ears.
Really?
Yeah, it's like amplifying the things I'm doing in the room. That's what my
sponsor us wrote. Sponsor us. Yeah, that's literally the purpose of them. Thanks to all our patrons, because we were able to buy mics to be able to do this remotely, because Mickey Mouse Martin said, no more podcasts for Bandwagons unless you do it at home. So yeah. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us for another spooky episode. We're coming to you very late this evening. Not that you will know a difference, because this will come out on time for you, but we are recording very late because Breed has been working and
I'll tell them what I'm working on, because I can't say.
I had said nothing. I said you were working and you were down my throat. Would you jump into my grave as quick?
We don't have time to edit this one.
Well, I haven't said anything, so let's move.
No, I know. I was being precautionary.
I've been moving house, so this is just coming to you very late. So the worms in our brains are more active than usual. So you know, and what? If this episode is a bit ropey,
things like it just is dark as well. Do you know what I mean?
Things just go bump in the night, yeah.
Things get a bit ropey after 11 p.m. It's only 10:15, so.
She says a 10:15 p.m. yes, so as discussed on our last, I think it was the Patreon episode, the Hocus Pocus episode, we said that we were going to do this. Was it? We said we were going to do The Conjuring.
Was it? No, I think it was The Purge episode.
Oh, we probably did say it on The Purge episode as well, yeah.
Yeah, because we'd done, what was the first one we did? We did Halloween Town, which is like a kiddie scary movie.
Yeah.
Then we did The Purge, which is like a violent movie. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the category is of that. And then this one is like an ooky spooky one.
Yeah.
An ooky spooky movie. And then next week we'll do something else, a different category.
Yeah, which we'll talk about at the end. We won't give it away now, because we have...
Stay tuned to the end.
The matter at hand is The Conjuring, which is a favourite of mine. A favourite of yours. It's incredibly scary. I remember seeing it in the cinema when it came out originally, which was 2013, I want to say. Yeah. And went with the girls and was like suitably scared, shiteless. And then watched it again recently, actually before we even decided about doing this for the podcast. And absolutely cacked myself, as did Cian Roach, as did my housemate. It was very, very scary. Even though I knew what happened, I couldn't really remember a lot of the big scares. And also the fact that it's based on a true story.
Yeah, that I watched it. I don't know if it was the night before or the night after you, but we sat down to watch it. Because we'd seen Annabelle recently. And I think that's like a sequel to it, or it's like the same. Yeah, it's like a sequel to it or a prequel or something. And we were like, we've kind of exhausted a lot of the scary movies on Netflix, so we just went for it. But the girls had seen it before and were like, oh, this is bad, this is scary. But oh, I loved it.
Oh, it's very scary. Yeah, but it's absolutely great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's like a good, there's more than a few moments where I was like, oh, I'm very scared.
Do you ever find yourself like you're not screaming, but your body makes a noise that you've never heard before? And it's like, yeah.
I know, I kind of do it like, ah!
No, mine is like guttural. It's like, oh! I love it.
Yeah, that's kind of me. It's like I'm
jumping, shocking myself.
Not.
Yeah.
You love shocking yourself.
I love shocking myself by the noises I can make.
So tell me, will I get into the plot? I'll get into the plot.
Well, I tell you what I remember.
You've a very long day at work. Yeah, do tell me what you remember, then I'll get into what actually happened.
So I remember there's a husband and wife. Husband is in a lot of scary movies, yes. But no one knows his name.
I was about to say, is it James Charles? It's not James Charles.
No, it's Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. I was close.
I only know that because I looked it up like 10 minutes ago. But so they move into a new house that they bought for very cheap in an auction or something.
Well, sorry, they don't move into the house.
Sorry, they don't move into the house. You're absolutely dead right. So there's another couple. There's a different couple that move into the house, and they have like four or five daughters. It's hard to count them all because they don't all appear in the shot at any one time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. And they all move in and scary things happen. The mom gets possessed. They bring in a couple to help. And that's about as much as I can remember. And it was a week ago. I really don't know when the scary things start happening. Is it immediate?
There's kind of... the worst bit is the thing with the dog. You know the way the dog like immediately barking and like the dog's like, damn, dog won't come dogs in. Are, yeah. Dog. And like it's like, okay, man, fucking Lassie's trying to imminently warn you that there are so many ooky spookies in this crib.
What's the name of the dog again?
I'm gonna look Daisy up. Or Maisie or something. I don't think it matters, Breed, but if you want to look that up.
Some people will really dispute that.
You were pretty much correct in your synopsis. So The Conjuring is based on a true story. Depicts the 18th century farmhouse in Rhode Island where Baron. Roger and Arlen... the dog's name wasn't Baron.
That's The Conjuring too.
Jesus.
Sadie.
Sadie. Sadie, yeah, right. Anyway, Roger and Carolyn Perrin, who are played by Lily Taylor and Ron Livingston in this movie, and their five daughters allegedly were terrified and even possessed by spirits. And the kids in the movie are played by the actress who plays Renesmee in Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, Mackenzie Foy.
And
there's one of the Nolan sisters.
That's the movie.
There's really not. There's one of those sisters. No, there's not. Is there a Fanning sister in this?
No.
No, I'm thinking of
Twilight.
No, who am I thinking of?
Uptown Girls.
No, Joey King.
Yeah, King. I was waiting for you to jump in there because I always call her Billy King or Billie Jean King.
Oh, the girls were like,
forget her name, right?
She came on the screen. The girls like, there's Gypsy Rose. I was like,
her name's not Gypsy Rose.
Annie Double Barrel.
She is one of the daughters, and then I don't really care about the other daughters, but they are in it. Sorry to move the mic there, so you might have heard a little wobble. Apologies. And yeah, so they bought this house and they just had a really bad time with it. Loads of
understatement of the
year. They were just absolutely demented by these ghosts. So they got this couple in who called themselves demonologists. They were Ed and Lorraine Warren.
I love them. I want to be married to both of them.
Yeah, they were a good buzz now. They seem to like have a good thing going on.
Imagine it's hard enough to meet one person that clicks with you, but imagine finding someone that clicks with you that is also into demonology.
Is that your dream?
No, I won't say what show I've been working on, but it's really hard to meet, it's really hard for normal people to meet normal people. But imagine two of the weirdest hobbies in the world coming together.
Connell and Marianne exorcism, made it work.
Exorcism and demonology.
Yeah, very true. Ed Warren died in 2006. poor Lorraine only died
today of all days.
I know. She died last year, God rest her soul. But they basically went around doing ooky spooky stuff.
Ed was the only, he was the only person, isn't he the only person that was recognised by the Catholic Church? Can you hear Amy screaming downstairs? I don't know.
Yes, I can, yeah.
I hope she's okay.
I hope so too.
He's the only exorcist to be recognised by the Catholic Church that's not a practising minister or something.
Yeah, he's not a priest.
Yeah. What do I say?
No, you were right, yeah. They are...
None of ministers in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I don't think so. Minister for crack. I can't
remember. Let's not go down that road.
Yeah, I don't remember enough with the Catholic Church, to be honest. But yeah, anyway, they went around doing things and they obviously were called into this house, which is the basis of the movie. And like, there's loads of shit going on. They get like the accounts of the kids and what, because so they can see things that the parents can't really until the mom is possessed, and they start like tracking all the noises and kind of like putting strings on the doors to see if doors will close or things will move, and they have like cameras and stuff.
Yeah, that was the team they bring in. Yeah,
yeah. When, let me check the timeline of when this happened. I'm pretty sure it was
a lot. It's like the 1850s. 70s. Oh, hard. Yeah, obviously. Sure, they only died last year.
1850. So Lorraine died at the grand old age of fucking 300 years old. Go for her. You're on crack tonight or something. But Lorraine said after of the investigation, she said the things that went on there were just so incredibly frightening. It still affects me to talk about it today. Like, it was very bad.
The movie was made because it was like the worst case they'd ever taken on or something, wasn't it? That's what they say at the start.
Yeah. And the movie is kind of based off of Lorraine and Ed's records as opposed to kind of the family's story per se. But your one, Andrea, she's the oldest of the five kids. She's in her 50s now. And when the film came out, she said she called it a beautiful tapestry with many elements of truth to it and some moments of fiction. So there you go. Like,
which...
it definitely happened. Like, if you want to dispute, like, because I know there are people who are going to be like, ghosts are real, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like, these people existed and they went and they saw some weird shit, like, that cannot be explained.
Yeah, I'd like to see, there are like clips in it where they show them like speaking at seminars and stuff and showing videos of like proof, like hard evidence of like ghosts and exorcisms that they've performed. I'd love to see like the real footage of that.
Yeah.
Instead of the remake.
Yeah, because obviously some people disputed it. There was a guy, Stephen Avella, he's a neurologist and president of the New England Skeptical Society. So as you can imagine,
sign me
not
up.
Believe any of this. Sign me up. He said at the time he was just never convinced of any of the stuff they did. He said
that's his job.
I know, but the other side of the argument, he just basically said that they were really, really good at telling these ghost stories. But like, they weren't just involved in this. Like, obviously there's like a whole kind of like cinematic universe of The Conjuring that we'll get into as well. You've like the Annabelle doll, The Nun. Like, they were involved in the paranormal story that ended up being made into the Amityville Horror. So like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were involved in that in terms of like trying to figure out what was going on.
Oh.
He just didn't believe that any of it was ghosts or whatever. He said you could do a lot of movies based on the stories they have spun, but there's absolutely no reason to believe there's any legitimacy to them. But as you said, like, now obviously these are kind of like fictionalized in the movie, but they, like, they've come out with other stuff and like they've written loads of books and shit where they've basically been like, we have actual evidence that Casper the Friendly Ghost is actually not so friendly, you know what I mean? So
yeah, let me put it to you this way though. What, okay. Like, the chances of you meeting, you're a demonologist, right? Put yourself in the shoes of a demonologist.
Great.
The chances of you meeting another demonologist on a scale of,
are
one
you
to
still
10?
On this? Are you
no,
still
but
on
hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out.
Right.
What would you say the chances of you meeting another demonologist that you actually are attracted to? Quite low.
Probably very small, like.
Yeah, okay. Take those shoes off, put these ones on. You're just a pure chancer.
Okay.
What are the chances of you meeting someone else that you're attracted to who's also willing to be a pure chancer with you? Much higher.
More likely.
Much higher. Way more likely.
So are you saying then that they're chancers?
I love them. I'm so attracted to them, but I do think, like, the, you just, if it walks like a duck, what is it? If it walks,
I have
like
no idea what you're about to say.
If it talks like a, if it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck, it's a duck. Like,
okay.
So if they look like they're
apply that to, apply that to what we're talking about.
If they look like they, if they look like they're telling lies and they sound like they're telling lies, and they walk like they're telling lies,
like, okay, but like obviously
they're telling lies.
But again,
I'd love to believe it.
Are you telling me you don't? I would have thought you would have. I didn't think you would be skeptical. This isn't just like two people being like, yeah, no, oh my God, absolute bad buzz in that house. This is a whole like family of seven. We're basically like, we were whole family. We were tormented for years. Cause this is the thing as well. The movie makes out like it kind of only happened over like a few months, probably even shorter, like a few weeks. In real life,
yeah, it seems like only like 6 weeks or something.
In real life, your one said they lived in the farmhouse from January 1971 until 1980, and like the ghosts were at it for that long. They were at it for 9 years.
Why didn't they just possess her at the start?
Great question. Do you mean the ghosts? I feel like that would one,
like if that, that was their intention,
a ghost.
If that was their intention the whole time, why dilly dally for 8 years? Who has the time?
Can you hear me scratching my arm? But that's the whole point of, no, I can't hear you scratching your arm. And also, I don't want to. That's the whole point of being a poltergeist, though. Like, you're having a bit of crack with it as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You want it, you're like, you kind of, you're enjoying them being absolutely miserable.
Yeah. So
again, I'm not going to speak for the ghosts. You know what I mean? Maybe they had different intentions.
But then also, like, I could put it, yeah, you have a fair point. Like, if you... If you see things that are paranormal, you hear things that sound paranormal.
It's a duck.
It's a paranormal duck.
But actually, the question was put to your one Andrea again about like why didn't they just leave? And now, obviously, hello, property crisis. But she basically said that the spirits kind of started out harmless, and they kind of had a laugh with them, especially the kids, and that's why you have the scene where you're like, yeah, and like playing with the music box and whatever. But she said there was one spirit who was like really bad called Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Andrea said, whoever the spirit was, she perceived herself to be mistress of the house, and she resented the competition my mother opposed for that position.
How did tell her name?
What?
How did they know her name?
It's a great question. I don't know.
See,
like, okay. they definitely were just, no, how would you know that? Like,
she's
that's
not
a
like,
lie too far, I think.
Writing the name Bathsheba on the fridge, like.
Yeah.
Or she's not like, ooh, I'm Bathsheba.
When asked why the family endured the spirit invaders who stunk of rotting flesh and would arrive at 5:15 most mornings to lift beds, Andrea said, I hear that question most every day. I think we were supposed to have this experience and share it with the world. Okay, reading that, I'm like, you're a spoof.
She just got, how much do you reckon she got for that?
She herself wrote $3. So,
she's still living off them ghosts.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. This house could all have ghosts.
They're all in cahoots. It's a pyramid scheme, I think. I think it's like a forever aloe kind of buzz. Like the ghost gets paid and then she gets paid.
It's Avon, yeah.
It's Avon with less mascara and more
the ghosts of
misery. Another great question because this makes up a lot of the movie. Why did they go into the cellar when it was clearly the most haunted place in the house? Why do you think they went into the cellar, Breed?
Because that's where the most activity was, and they'd have a higher chance of catching like spooky stuff.
Well, no, that was Ed and Lorraine, but like the family itself, like why did they keep going the fuck down?
Like? Oh yeah, when it was just like it was like, that's like me opening my wardrobe now and seeing a little hole in the back of it and climbing through. Like no one in their right mind would do that.
You should do that because that's how you get to Narnia.
It is. Narnia is not a good place either. But that's a whole other difference.
No, see, Narnia is a good place. It's just politics is a mess. It's very like America at the minute.
Yeah.
Aslan is so sexy, isn't he?
No, I was going to say Legolas. It's not a Legolas. What's the guy that's half a ghost?
That's, you know, Mr. Tomlinson.
Mr. Tomlinson. Yeah, I guess a bit of that.
Is it Mr. Tomlinson or is that, am I thinking of?
James McAvoy.
I forgot it was James McAvoy. Yeah, he is kind of sexy.
He's sexy from the waist up.
his, it's definitely not Mr. Tomlinson, isn't it? Is it? Where that's wrong. Like, that has to be wrong. What's the horse guy called? Called in Narnia. Hang on.
I would love more.
Centaur.
Wine.
That doesn't help me.
Centaur.
I know it's a centaur, but what's his name?
Maybe it is. Just
okay, called... I looked this up in a while, but I, just because I think Mr. I'm saying Louis Tomlinson, but that's obviously not Louis Tomlinson. Mr.
No, he didn't appear till like at least Narnia 3.
Yeah, he actually turned around the role. He was very busy. Mr. Tumnus. I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't.
Yeah, I was going to say Tom Tom or something.
Tom Tom. Anyway, sorry. So they asked your one Andrea why they kept going to the cellar when it was such a bad buzz. And it was basically because that's where the heating was. So if the heating failed, the dad had to go down. And it would just be so stinky, he said. He'd go downstairs and feel this cold, stinking presence beside him. It's not a nice way to talk about his wife.
You're moving into a house that has no heating. Would you go down to the basement to turn it on if you had to?
Do I know or do I not know that there are ghosts there?
I mean, the vibes aren't good.
Probably not then.
Would you just freeze? Would you just sit and wear your coat like you were earlier?
Well, see, if I had the option to go to another house, which I did, then I would. But these people didn't because they were incredibly poor, seemingly. So I understand why they did it. But I mean, I don't know. Just seemed like a financial advisor gave them some bad advice about this house and they just went for it. And some dodgy estate agent.
Well, they got it for pennies, didn't they? They got it for real cheap.
Yeah, they got it for pennies. And people were flat out killing themselves.
Yeah. What was the crack with the tree? Are you getting to that? What?
Oh, I have no info about the tree. But I have no information.
The tree is like a big part, is it not? The tree is like literally... Are you looking at the Wikipedia right now?
No, I have a separate note.
Okay.
I have everything that your own Andrea said.
The logo for The Conjuring is the tree, like... With the noose hanging off.
Because that's where...
It's a very big part.
Yeah, because it's where one of the gals hung themselves.
Yeah, what was the crack? So it was like, is this the real life thing or is this just a movie plot where it's like a woman was living there and she was a witch from Salem? Sorry, when someone texted me. She was a witch in Salem and she had a baby only to kill it because she knew that would piss off God. Like, that's the like worst thing you could do, to piss off God. And she was like, obviously, a devil worshipper.
Yeah, I don't think any of that was real. But that was the,
it's a good story.
That was the story for the movie. Yeah.
And then she's the spirit that went down to like possess every mother that lived thereafter to like kill her own kids.
Yeah, that was Bathsheba.
Oh, Bathsheba. Oh, Bathsheba.
Do you want to know if the exorcism actually took place?
Did it not? I'd be very sad if it didn't. Bathsheba Sherman.
So
Sherman's a scary name.
The Warrens made frequent trips to the house in 1974 to investigate, but Lorraine insists she and her husband would never try an exorcism, which must be performed by a Catholic priest. However, a seance allegedly caused Carolyn Perrin to be temporarily possessed, which Andrea claims she secretly watched. So the whole thing of the mom getting possessed apparently happened in real life.
But how did they get her unpossessed?
I don't think they did. Like, your one Andrea says the ghosts are still just milling around after them, like.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So the movie is all lies.
Well, no, like the people exist. It did happen, but I think some of it was exaggerated, according to Andrea herself. When they moved in initially as well, the neighbours told them to leave the lights on at night because of, like, that it was ooky spooky. Cindy Perrin, so she was one of the younger ones, I think, she said just at the start that things would either be, that as I said, because it wasn't really scary and bad at the start, it was just things would be moved. Do you know, we used to do that in college? Was that one part
of the house?
Yeah, we would like turn everything in people's rooms like slightly so that...
Or put like the couch up on the kitchen table. when they were
getting dressed. That was less.
That was a bit more obvious.
Yeah.
You can't take the lead for 2 seconds. I just need to pick something up.
So sorry as well. As I said, the house was the site of like suicides, apparently rapes, murders, drownings, because the farmhouse was on a lot of land with water, and you see that in the movie. And that's again why the neighbors were like, leave your lights on, no consideration for the electricity bill. Also, fun fact, the parents claim the Warrens actually made it worse when they came. So in the movie, obviously, we see like the two demonologists successfully exorcise the house and it's cleaned of all its evil spirits and they all lived happily ever after. But apparently not the case at all. And they say, and this is what I was saying to you there, apparently them coming made it like 100 times worse. Like they said that, do you remember I was saying about the seance that they did at the house?
Yeah.
Lorraine's never spoken like publicly about exactly what happened. But she was, the kids say that she was clearly very disturbed by whatever she saw. And kind of the same thing, that it was like, she saw her mom being possessed and that her chair levitated. She was thrown across the room and she was kind of speaking in tongues or whatever.
Do you think it was just menopause? Looking back.
Oh, God.
I see my mom do some crazy stuff. No, she's gonna kill me for saying that.
But that, but that's what I'm thinking. Is it, was it just like, say you were on a mad one, say you were on the maddest of mad ones, like either like really drunk or really hungover. You know the way you could just be in like a very warped mindset and you can be inclined to do anything, say anything. Was it just that? And then do you have the excuse when things are kind of being moved around, or whatever? Do you have the excuse of being like, gee,
I've all been a bit haunted.
Yes, last night. I'm so sorry. I can't even look at my phone. I don't even want to know what Bathsheba was saying, you know?
Yeah. Or do you know, like back in the day, didn't they used to treat like, they used to have like hysteria in women and they used to treat it with cocaine?
They need to start doing that again, I think.
But that wasn't that was much earlier than the 80s. I think. I don't know. I can't confirm.
Yeah, fair. I would hope you can't confirm, because
that would mean I'm 36.
Yeah, you would be very, very old.
I'd be so sad.
Very, very old. there's someone living in the real life house now, right now.
Oh, shit. Can you go visit it?
I don't know if you can go visit, because I think it's privately owned by this gal called Nancy Sutcliffe. And she says that so she purchased it in 1987 and she says the house is absolutely not haunted, which is something that's
very interesting.
Yeah. She says there have been no paranormal disturbances or supernatural events, not even from the benevolent spirits, the nice ones.
Benevolent.
Yeah. Benevolent. So she's like, no, never happened. She's kind of constantly discredited their entire story. On whatever article that I took this from, just goes, there could be several explanations for this current state of affairs. One is that the ghosts that terrorized the parents left. Yes, absolutely. They probably didn't go immediately when the parents moved, as there are reports that subsequent homeowners were also tormented while they were in the house. They may have, in some way or another, followed the parents throughout their lives, because the degree of haunting that they experienced after they left the house was incredibly diminished. But they did still, like, they're all adamant that they are still around, but they're kind of able to live somewhat of a normal life, I think, now.
So do you reckon the ghosts left the house when that family did? Or like some of them did? It doesn't make any sense, because if they left the house when the family did, then the subsequent homeowners wouldn't have been haunted. Unless they like left gradually.
They must have left gradually. Yeah, it must have been like kind of a...
It makes no sense. But also, I think...
kind of buzz.
I think if I had found out that this house... If the previous owners of this house were like, Jesus, I was absolutely haunted in there, that bedroom, I'd actually start hearing things and I'd start like putting things down to ghosts instead of like actually being like pipes or the boiler or whatever.
Actually, yeah, a friend before we moved into the house that we're about to move into, which we actually haven't moved into yet, I was talking to a friend of a friend about another house, or a house that they potentially had, or like a house that a friend had. And they were like, oh, would you take it or whatever? And I was like, oh, like, yeah, absolutely. Because wherever they were saying, the location was ideal. And then he turns around and goes, oh, by the way, like, I'm pretty sure it's haunted. Like,
this Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Younger brother used to see things on the landing and stuff because it used to be their family home and now it's like a second home or whatever. And they said the younger brother used to see things like on the stairs. And I was like, interesting.
Is the younger brother okay?
Sure, I can take that now. Yeah. I know the younger brother.
Was it only him that used to see it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's definitely a thing where it's like only children can see certain ghosts.
Yeah, I can't remember who's telling me this. I think it actually might have been one of my housemates, but like that, like her granny died when she was either like a baby or like when her mom was pregnant with her, or like she like never met her, never would have like remembered her or anything. She was like really, really young or not born. And her mom, like, still to this day is adamant that like she went into her room when she was little and was like, oh, I'm just here with like nanny or whatever. And was like, and then she pointed to a picture of her granny and was like, that's the lady that comes to visit me in my bedroom or whatever.
No.
And like, I just think like kids that young, like I could have that story arsed if you're listening, but like kids can't lie. Like kids wouldn't know to make that up at like 3 or 4 years of age.
Yeah. But then is it just a thing of like, are their imaginations so overactive?
Yeah.
That they take kind of bits of what they know or like memories or whatever or things they've heard.
Yeah.
And then like their subconscious or whatever just actually knits them together into this beautiful lie.
Yeah, that people like love to lean into because it makes, it kind of gives them comfort or whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think so. Yeah. You know the museum in the movie? That was real. So like that, do you know?
That is real, man? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Creep Dive have done an episode on that museum.
Yeah, so in the movie, you'll see like Ed is giving tours of this room in their gaff that has like all the cursed objects, including, or not cursed, but like things that they took from investigations that were haunted or whatever and possessed. And that was the Warrens Occult Museum, which is now closed, unfortunately.
Occult.
Occult. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
O-C-C-U-L-T.
Occult.
Yeah. Ran in the back of her gaff in Monroe, Connecticut, with the help of her son-in-law, Tony Sperra. That's where we saw Annabelle, which I'll get into in a minute. But yeah, absolutely did exist.
And Annabelle is still there.
Annabelle is still there. Tell you what, I actually completely forgot to look that up. So I might look that up towards the end. No, because I wanted to bring you through the like cinematic universe. If you were ever thinking of wanting to sit down and watch them all, because so like there's been a couple of them, right? So obviously it started with The Conjuring, but The Conjuring, if you want to watch it in order, now this is very confusing, so like take it with a pinch of salt, but if you want to watch it in order, so that you have the timeline correct, you should start with Annabelle Creation, which is apparently supposed to be very, very scary, and I think I'm going to try and watch during the week. It's
okay,
supposed to be very good.
That's newer though, is it?
Yeah, it's the second Annabelle movie. It's not the first one.
Oh, okay. That would have been like in the last couple of years that came out.
Yeah. This is like, it's the prequel to Annabelle, which Annabelle is obviously a prequel to The Conjuring. And Annabelle Creation is set, it kind of goes over a few years, but it's like 1943, 1952, 1955 and 1967. And it expands on how like Annabelle came to be possessed, starting with a car accident. She moves into an orphanage and then things get really spicy. I won't spoil it in case you want to watch it. So if you watch that, watch that, and then the post credit scene is a teaser for The Nun, which is set in 1952.
Oh,
so then you need to watch The Nun next, which is also supposed to be very scary, which I haven't seen. Nun is set in 1952, stays there for the majority of its running time, follows Catholic priest Father Burke and nun in training Sister Irene as they investigate the suicide of a nun at a convent in Romania, unaware it's linked to the demon Valak.
Just Sister Act.
And then Sister Act, yeah. Sister Act 3. Woo.
Sister Act 3.
But the final, there's not much in terms of plot, like you're watching to be scared. The final scene of that movie skips ahead to 1971, and it's the scene, do you know, of the exorcism that Lorraine saw in The Conjuring, where she gets a really bad fright and she can't speak about it at all.
Yeah, they show what happens.
Yeah, you see that then.
You see what she saw.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see the person being exorcised. He's a guy, Maurice Therial. So then you go on to, so you watch that, but then if you want to keep going chronologically, then you go back to Annabelle, which apparently isn't that good. The first Annabelle.
I watched that recently.
Not good.
It's like two young girls in a house.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that spooky. There's a baby in it.
Yeah. So this is her like kind of making her first movements into the realm of the damned.
There's a couple.
And apparently, according to this reviewer, it's the worst. The second one is very good. So then you move on to the third Annabelle movie, which is Annabelle Comes Home. And this is where you see the Warrens bringing Annabelle to the cursed artifacts room, which is the scene we see in at the start of The Conjuring, basically.
Oh yeah.
But it doesn't really matter because they overlap. It doesn't matter. And it follows Annabelle basically tormenting the fucking shite out of their daughter Judy. After her babysitter's friend makes a mistake of letting Annabelle loose, she'd be getting sacked.
The babysitter or like what? The friend?
Probably the babysitter and the friend.
I thought it was risky enough. I know. You know. When I used to babysit, they'd always be like, oh, you can have a friend over if you want. I'd be like, you do not know. Who's going to want to come stay here with me and mind these children?
Absolutely.
But also, risky move. Because if I had been any older...
Risky, clearly, and this is what happens.
And then
this is what happens when you
could let the fake, you could let the haunted doll out. Did your like mom ever buy you? My granny used to buy me porcelain dolls, like from like with like gorgeous like Victorian petticoats and stuff on them, and I still have them. I sound so posh, but they said I still have them all. I wasn't allowed to play with them in case they smashed.
I got one from a Santa visit in the Fair Green in Carlow, and it was divine.
Nice. You still have
I did play with it, but like she wasn't very like bendy, like so you couldn't really have much crack.
That's what mine were like on like metal stands, and they used to have like little stuff. Like they were very like, and my granny come home and I always say to her now, I'm like, I still have them, and she's like, yeah, you used to fucking hate them when I gave them to you. She was like, you used to scream and we thought it was gas. I was like, yeah, they're terrifying.
They are definitely the like kind of dolls that would come to life, like there's a bit of confusion here because in Annabelle Comes Home, you can see the music box that's in The Conjuring. So like there's a bit of confusion with the timeline there. But anyway.
I don't think the timeline is...
doesn't really matter. That's the buzz of Annabelle Comes Home.
Okay.
You don't think the timeline is what?
Sorry, you cut out for a second. I don't think time is like linear in Annabelle's world.
No, some of the... Well, not in Annabelle's world because she's a demon.
That's what I mean. Like, so
she doesn't have a watch. Like, the curse of I haven't heard of this one, but our favorite Linda Cardellini,
Curse of the Black Pearl,
is in this. No, the curse of La Llorona.
I love Linda Cardellini. People keep getting onto us about that.
Linda Cardellini.
Cardinelli.
No, it's Cardellini.
Is it me that keeps saying Cardellini?
Yes, Cardinelli, it's you that keeps saying Cardinelli.
Right.
Look at you trying to pass the blame off to me.
Yeah. No, I just have like a soft spot about it now because people keep like being like,
this evil doll. And then you, where's The Conjuring in this? The Conjuring must be before that, actually. Sorry, I don't think I looked at this right. Yeah. So then it's The Conjuring 2, which I've actually never seen. And this is them investigating the Amityville house in 1976 before moving on to a case in the UK in 1977, which we know as the Enfield Hauntings, which I do not know anything about.
Enfield,
So in that you have the nun, as well as a creepy guy called the Crooked Man, who's getting his own movie, which sounds terrifying. And then this year, we were actually supposed to get the third Conjuring, which is called The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. But they've pushed it back because of pesky Miss Rona. And that focused on the real life case of the Aaron Cheyenne Johnson, who in 1981 was charged with manslaughter for murdering his lord. That's coming out in 2021. So if I don't you know fancy how... a big...
So the Amityville, as I know it, Amityville is like... It was like this family that lived there. And then I think the son went in one day and just killed them all or something. And then he told everyone he was at the cinema. So he like, they went, him and his friend went and bought tickets. Maybe I'm mixing this up with something else. Like him and his friend went and bought tickets for the cinema and then left during the movie, went and killed his whole family, went back. So they had an alibi, but like okay. It was very, very like loose alibi. I could be mixing that up. So I don't know why it's, unless like the ghost of his family became like an issue. I don't know.
I'm not sure. So as I mentioned earlier, you will remember a few months ago there was chat that the real life Annabelle doll had escaped.
Yeah, you started that chat.
Well, sorry, I didn't start the rumor, but okay. I encouraged it.
You did carry it on.
Absolutely. So it was Ed and Lorraine Warren's son-in-law, Tony Sperra, who remember we said he ran the museum with Lorraine. He shared the news that she was missing in a YouTube video on August 14th after Annabelle's Wikipedia page was edited to suggest she'd somehow broken out of the museum. So he said, I'm here to tell you something. I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but Annabelle did not escape. Annabelle's alive. Well, I shouldn't say alive. Annabelle's here in all her infamous glory. She never left the museum. Remember, I've high-tech security here. If she'd left the museum, I'd instantly know if something happened or somebody broke in. I've good alarm systems here and the police are very good to respond. They respond within a couple of minutes, maybe, if that. And he kind of showed the Annabelle doll on camera. We might try and get this video or link this video if people want to watch it. And he said, Annabelle's here. She didn't go anywhere. She didn't take a trip. She didn't fly first class and she didn't go to visit her boyfriend. Good, because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Come on, Annabelle.
Annabelle. Yeah. All for one and one for all. Jesus. Corona can affect anyone. So she didn't escape, basically, and it was a load of shite.
Wasn't it that he just took her out to clean her? That's what I heard. But she just ran around the house.
Are you saying it was just someone on the Wikipedia?
Oh.
No, I don't think she ever left. Like, I think it was just someone being like, oh, here, let's have a bit of a buzz of 2020. Your one, Judy, who is the daughter and is obviously married to this chap, is still, I'm looking at this article now where she says she's still a bit freaked about the doll. She has never escaped or acted up, but I don't want her to get any ideas. Yeah, surely not. Oh my God.
That's the last thing we need in 2020.
That's the last thing people need. But yeah, basically that was the absolute definition of fake news. She didn't go anywhere. Full of shite.
Classic.
I'd go visit that museum. Would lead me to believe that it's still open.
Where is it?
I'm going to Google it now.
County. What county?
Oh, it's not.
No, I'm going to miss it.
Occult Museum. See, Occult Museum closed.
Why do you say it like that? What is that noise?
Occult.
Can you hear that?
It's been closed to the public since... No. Closed to the public since last year, apparently. So, there you go. I'm whenever we can go to the cinema again, I'm definitely going to go see that new one in the cinema. Because there's not like a good cinema fright. The Devil Made Me Do It. Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
That does sound really, really scary.
And it's them investigating that murder of the landlord.
Is there an ad playing on your laptop?
I don't think so. No, I only have the Zoom window open.
Right, okay. Is it my laptop? No. Okay, maybe it's the voice in my head again.
Sounds like it. The worms are getting louder.
Fair. I've had an earpiece in all day and then I just go to bed and all I hear like these voices going check, check, check.
How many popcorns would you give it out of 100?
I would give it like, it's probably, I would say it's up there with like one of my favorite ever scary movies out of the few I've seen so far. So I'd say,
yeah,
I'd give it like an 85.
I'd nearly give it a 90.
Yeah, like I don't want to go too far because I haven't seen them all.
You've like a strong power couple. You've like kind of a couple of different scary things going on.
Yeah, what you want from a horror movie is Patrick Wilson. You want...
Yeah, if Patrick Wilson's in it, you know it's going to be good.
You want the big scares. You want like some sort of like children being like very like thrown around by a ghost.
Yeah.
Because no one likes that.
Yeah.
An exorcism, ideally.
Yeah, I like people in corners and people jumping off wardrobes. People under beds.
I like people in corners.
I like people in corners.
Likes include...
Yeah, that's my vibe now, I'm going to be honest.
So the next one I should watch is Annabelle Creation. Start from there and move on.
What did I say? No, I'd say start with... Well, do you want to watch it in order? I kind of want to watch it in order.
Yeah, so, that's...
Yeah, sorry, Annabelle Creation is the first one. Annabelle Creation and then The Nun. Are either of them on Netflix?
So. I would say Annabelle Creation might be. Where did you watch The Nun recently? Did you watch it?
No. The Nun. Everyone goes as The Nun for Halloween. That became a very popular
Everyone
Halloween.
Goes as a nun. And Annabelle. A nun for Halloween. What's the difference between a nun?
No, the like the specific nun is like she's like really yellow teeth and like she's bleeding everywhere and...
Oh shit. I've never seen that.
You'd know it if you saw it. She's really minging like. Really minging, really scary.
Okay.
Why don't we go as Ed and Lorraine?
I would love to go as Ed and Lorraine. And like have like a PowerPoint presentation and stuff. We're going to have to go from separate houses this year. That's going to be weird.
Sure.
Weird,
is.
But not unwelcomed.
not unwelcome.
Are you sticking to your original Halloween costume?
Yes.
Okay.
Though I might be doing the 6 o'clock show now, presumably from Skype now, with the way it's going. But I had another idea for that I had
that
I might do. I don't know if we have to, but I think I might just for the crack.
Shits and giggles. Can you give me a hint?
No.
But you've told me before. Can you just give me a hint that like so only I know?
It's blue.
That doesn't help me at all.
It's not my problem.
It's blue.
Yeah.
Is it the genie from Aladdin? That'd be great. You'd be a great genie from Aladdin. Oh my God, you could do your hair with that little like upside down teardrop thing. do your hair and do a little
surely that would involve me also going on the show topless, like in haram pants.
Topless and and bras. With a big a Hershey's Kiss hairdo and like some sort of like some sort of slip on, what are they called, moccasins or something, I don't know,
moccasins. Yeah I could make it work absolutely.
I have a couple of ideas of things I wanted to do, and I went on a mad like Depop thing buying like bits for each, so I've got like two half costumes. But that does not make one full one.
Two half costumes does not a full costume make. Well, listen, we'll see.
So I've had a very busy weekend, and for the first time in Bandwagon's history, I've asked Fionnuala to take on the mini bandwagon.
It's definitely not the first time in bandwagon's history, but I...
It is! I've never stepped back fully. No, I've never stepped back fully from bandwagon.
I've never stepped back fully. There are just some days that I just haven't done it.
No, I've done it like where we've like split it, but I've never stepped back fully. I've no idea what you're going to say. I don't have anything to say myself, so I'm just going to listen. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I was going to throw in a few wild cards, but I
throw them in.
Posh.
There's not much time.
It. No, it was anyway. It's fairly random, but I kept it normal. I kept it
boring.
Kings to Watcher. Shut the fuck up. I did. First one was Child's Play, which is the new. Well, not new because came out in 2019, but new to me. It's on Netflix and it's like a Chucky kind of a buzz. It's a doll that you could control from your phone and...
What?
It's given to this child and basically goes mad. Aubrey Plaza's in it. It's not that scary.
It's a movie.
There's a few... Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a
kind
doll.
Of like, there's a few kind of like... moments, but like it's not like we kind of watch it thinking it'd be really scary and it's not, but it's kind of it's camp and it's funny and I enjoyed. I would definitely watch again.
Where did you
Netflix.
Watch that?
It's called Child's Play Netflix.
Oh, I think I've seen an ad for that. Have they been promoing that for a while?
They could have been, yeah.
Did you see that? Absolutely.
We were kind of stuck between.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Have you seen that absolutely shocking ad for Adam Sandler's scary movie? Or horror?
Who Be Halloween.
Who Be Halloween, yeah. It looks absolutely shocking.
I haven't watched it, yeah. Oh, what is Adam Sandler doing?
Would he ever put it together?
Yeah. Anyway, that's Child's Play and that's on Netflix. Dexter's back. Very exciting. I never watched it originally, but I've started to now with my housemate Jack and we are... thoroughly enjoying it. It's a guy who is a forensic like blood splatter expert in Miami, but he's also a serial killer.
He kills
people who are bad. So there's like seven series altogether. Sky Atlantic has started showing it again from the start because it's coming back for a limited run of episodes with the original, what's it called? Screenwriter? Showrunner?
Yeah.
Clyde Williams, I think is his name. He's back and he was on for like the first four series and like series four is considered like absolute peak Dexter, peak television. And then the three series after that, if you're a Dexter fan, people don't consider great. The new series is supposed to carry on from how the original series ended. And I won't give it away if people want to watch it. I know it because I've had to write about it, so I spoil it for myself. But a very divisive ending, seemingly. So it'll be interesting to see how they follow it up. But anyway, I'm on series one and I'm enjoying it. If you're kind of into that kind of stuff. And Michael C. Hall is really good at being...
I was going to say, who plays Dexter? Do I know him?
Michael C. Hall.
And what else is he in?
That's the role most people would know him for. He's definitely been in other things, but I wouldn't know. So,
What was I going to say? Does he get like called in to like be an expert on crimes he's committed?
We'll see. I'm not far enough into the series yet to figure that out, but I would imagine so. Yeah, like there's one bit in series one where like there's this kind of copycat killer going around, and he started copping that Dexter is killing people, so he starts like draining all the blood from the bodies. So they keep finding these bodies, and there's no blood in them. So they find another body that Dexter has killed. But they find it somewhere else and he starts absolutely cacking himself because he's like, I'm going to get caught. But he doesn't. He doesn't because obviously there's seven bloody series of it. Like, but...
And do you be rooting for him? Like,
kind of, yeah. He's an odd character now. But like...
It's based off a real guy.
Watch. No, it's based off a book, but I don't think it's a real guy.
Unless there was like a copycat in real life. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about in the series.
Okay, I think there might have been like a Dexter copycat in real life, or there's definitely some connection to like a real life guy who maybe he didn't even get to kill people, but he thought he was going to be able to be like a bit of a Dexter.
Yeah.
That I can recall. The last one.
So you can get that on Sky Atlantic, or if you catch up, you can get it there. And my last one is beauty advent calendars, because I saw a really good tweet from Amy O'Connor.
That's a good one.
If we go into level five, every woman in Ireland should get a fancy beauty advent calendar.
That lasts 6 weeks.
I couldn't agree more, but I don't think the government is going to bring that in. But if anyone's looking for recommendations, I was very kindly sent one from The Body Shop, which is very, very nice. L'Occitane have one. Amy Connolly has one. Went to, the Cult Beauty one is supposed to be very good, but from what I can see, it is sold out because people are very quick. Boots and Number 7 tend to do one, and M&S. But I would say get it while they're hot now. Try and get it online. Maybe don't go out if you don't have to and contribute to that rush of panic. But definitely fucking treat yourself, girlies or guys. Get your fancy hand creams and whatever else is in them.
Yeah. I had an idea for like mini bandwagons for the next few weeks. Okay. Maybe a bit early. Maybe from November.
Okay.
If we want to just like, I'm going to just shout out like three Irish businesses that do like potential Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
You're yawning, but I feel like
I'm yawning because it's 11:05, but it's a good idea.
Thank you. Okay.
You laughed at me when I said let's shout out fucking takeaways.
Yeah, because you just did it. Like, I don't think you thought it through. So we might do that. Maybe it might be a bit early. I might do it maybe 2 weeks' time.
Rebecca Caulfield, who actually listens to this podcast, as far as I'm aware, and if she doesn't, this is going to be really embarrassing for me. But if anyone follows her on Instagram, she actually put together an Irish Christmas gift guide, and it covers like loads of different areas. So if you want to look at that now. But I might just pull a few from that as the weeks go on, and we can shout out a few people. Because it's a great idea.
If you have a little business, give us a message and we'll put you on the list and we'll shout you out.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I think that's it from us. I need to pick a Nivea winner.
I just sent you one.
Oh, great.
I'm on the ball today.
Oh, yes. Here.
Working suits me.
It really does. It really does.
Tell that to my buddy.
Congrats to our last winner of the Nivea hamper. Kathy Culligan, culligan.kathy on Instagram. Thank you so much for entering and for listening and being a friend. If you could please
send us a message with your address.
Yeah, DM us your address and your phone number and we'll get that out to you straight away. And thank you to Nivea for sponsoring the last few weeks of prizes on social, and thanks to everyone who entered. There will be more competitions coming up very soon, hopefully. Thank you to Collaborative Studios as always. Thanks.
It's way past Shane's bedtime.
It's way past Shane's bedtime. He's going hoshy hoshy hoshy.
Thanks to Fiona and Shane for staying up late to record with me.
Leave us a review, but only if it's nice. Follow us on all socials. We are at Bandwagon Podcast generally everywhere.
Next week we're gonna do Scream, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're gonna do Scream.
We're gonna do Slasher. Yeah, so Scream. Yeah.
We're going to do Scream. If you want to hear our Hoax Pokes episode, sign up to our Patreon and you will get full years of worth of content. All of our previous bonus episodes, all of our previous playlists. There's a few vlogs up there. It's good crack. You also have access to our close friends on Instagram where you can contribute to polls and shape the episodes. And you have to watch our tarot readings, or sometimes we get drunk and we're just on there. It's a good laugh. What else? Follow us on Spotify. You'll get all the latest episodes there. And I think that's it. I've been Fanula.
I've been Breed. It's so late.
Please stay safe and try and stay positive. And
we really appreciate you.
We really, really do. Mind yourself, guys.
Bye.
Talking about. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.